Ahoy, Vachon. Or as the French say, Vachon. This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hey, good morning, Vachon. Good morning, Briefly. We're almost at the end of 2021. Can you believe that? Time is flying when we're having fun. Hey, glad folks could join us. I'm sure we're setting attendance records today, Brown Briefly, because the snow and the ice have got to be keeping people in, listening to their favorite radio station, Voice of Vachon 101.9. Hey, great to see everybody. Hey, how's things going? Truman, you are testing the road local traction out on the roads, I hear, this morning. How did that go?
Well, I skied down my hill this morning in my pickup, literally. Actually, the way my driveway is, I have two paved pads, and then there's dirt, right, on either side. And I said, you know, I think I'm not going to go down the concrete today. I'm going to get over on the dirt. So that's what I did. And then once I got down on my down to the road, that was pretty slippery yet. So, and I had to go get Molly this morning over on Maury. So I've had a little bit of a drive this morning to get in. But we made it, and the roads aren't too bad, surprisingly.
All right. And they said dirt is good for nothing. So I guess you're proving them wrong.
No. It's good for that.
I see there's people making houses out of it nowadays.
Rammed earth.
Yeah. Environmentally friendly as well as flame retardant.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, good morning. I see some bright light coming through over your left shoulder. How's life treating you these days?
Hey, good morning. Yum. That's my sliding glass doors that are backed up by a giant sheet that has a peace sign on it, which you can't quite tell, but I figure it's my extra layer of warmth sitting here at my dining room table with the sliding glass doors. I have a little rant to say about heat pumps. I didn't find out for several years that heat pumps don't really work very well in really cold weather, and they default to a backup furnace air handler heater. And mine cannot keep up. It's heating my house to only about 60 degrees now. But I promise to be quiet about it in the future because I want that power to stay on, no matter what. So I'm here in a puffy coat and a ski long underwear and a fleece, joining you from frigid Ellisport.
All right. We know it'll get really cold when you don a hat.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
And Bruce also joining us from Ellisport. Are you as cool as Lynn today, or are you on the slightly warmer side?
No, slightly warmer side. Our furnace is pumping out. We've got a fire going on the fireplace. We've had a fire going for 4 days now, you know, sort of nonstop. So making a dent in the wood supply, but that's what it's for. So, but it's been beautiful.
I'm coming to your house.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah, if you can make it. The roads back here are pretty, it's pretty slick. All the kids, we have a bunch of grandkids here, and they all went sledding yesterday in Ellisport on the hills. And it's pretty, they did some videos of them, and they were breaking the speed limit coming down the hills. Sort of like Truman coming down his driveway.
That's right, coming down my
mostly
driveway.
Out of control.
Yeah.
All right, so choose your route carefully if you dare visit Ellisport on four wheels, eh?
But the beach is beautiful with the snow, and looking forward, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, are some of the year's highest and lowest tides. The low tides are early in the evening after dark, but the high tides will be sort of midday. So it'll be spectacular. I mean, the sand spit, the whole beach almost disappears when there's those extreme high tides. So it'll be fascinating to see how it works. And of course, the birds are just flocking into the estuary, as you can imagine. So a beautiful sort of a winter set of days here. And it looks like it's going to go on for a few more days.
It does sound like a winter wonderland, actually, the way you describe it.
It is.
Hey, well, I should let our listeners and ourselves know, in case we didn't, that today is actually Pledge of Allegiance Day.
Oh, there you go.
Who'd have thought? I didn't know we had one of those.
Hmm.
Yeah, and December 28th from, I'm not sure how long, years and years, we've had Pledge of Allegiance Day. I will say, however, that there was a motion at the Vashon Maury Island Community Council to say the pledge at the beginning of every meeting, but it was voted down. Significant opposition, one in favor, but let's not deter us if we seek to say the pledge, today might be the day. It's also, and I think this is very timely, National Chocolate Candy Day.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. And if you were wondering where fruitcake, National Fruitcake Day went, it was actually yesterday. So you can catch up if you got fruitcake, you know, and chocolates, then you can maybe, you know, have a merger.
Hey, you know, I engineer sometimes for the Stirring the Pot, which is Tom Conway and Linda Nygaard. And Tom evidently makes fruitcake. And he said he makes an actual fruitcake that people will really eat. I mean, because it's evidently fabulous. But I'm not convinced yet. I'm used to the hockey puck that I normally get, you know, which is pretty good for curling, but not great for eating. So, hey, I do have to say one more thing about the cold weather and the wildlife. We have a little hummingbird that has been frequenting our front porch. We do have a hummingbird feeder out there. So we bring it in at night after it gets dark to keep it thawed. But I came up with a brilliant idea yesterday. I have those little hand warmers, you know, the kind that you shake and then they get hot. And this particular hummingbird feeder has got there's a hole right in the center of it where the wire goes in, you know, to hang it. And by golly, one of those little hand warmers fits right in that little hole. And so yesterday and again today, I put one of those in there. So it keeps the hummingbird liquid warm and thawed. So he appears to be pretty happy with her, she, whichever she is. So anyway, brilliant. So there's a hint for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we've been rotating. We have two of them, and we've been rotating them to keep the slushy, you know, from forming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like your idea. Well, we we already kind of talked about the cold and the snow, but and some sunshine. You know, as I look out my window, I don't see it right at the moment. But any other news about coping with the cold weather and the snow?
Well, one more. The airport is snowed in, and my airplane is still stuck in Oregon, and I can't go get the darn thing because we can't take off from our airport because of the snow. So it's going to be there for a while yet, it appears.
Well, if you had solar panels on those roofs, you could probably have a runway defroster system.
We are actually talking about that. Thank you, Lynn Kerrigan. She showed us an article about that, and we discussed it at the last commissioner meeting, and we are actually thinking about that as a possibility. Yeah.
Great.
All right. And Lynn, you had some other comments, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say that despite temperatures of, I think, 17 degrees yesterday, the COVID testing site up at the Vashon Pharmacy was operating yesterday, and we did about double the business there that we usually do. We tested 54 people, I think more than that, but some of them were done off-site at a business that Jim Bristow, the physician who's one of our major leaders and founders of that Medical Reserve Corps team, went to a business and did another, I don't know, nine or so. So I'm just sort of letting people know that people are pretty intrepid about getting up there to staff that little booth that's in the trailer next door to the pharmacy. And getting up there for their tests. We had quite a few cancellations, but not near as many as I thought would be there, including one older couple who walked all the way there and then were kind of horrified that they couldn't do their test in their car, obviously, and we couldn't let them in the trailer. And I'm just letting them know why, because these tests where you stick that little swab up your nose makes people sneeze. And we can't have that in our room where we're bagging up all kind of sterile equipment for people's test kits. And so they were unhappy, and I don't know where they went to do their tests, but they were creative and figured out a way to do it somewhere. And so we got everybody done who showed up, and that was a lot of people. So I'm happy that people are still testing and tests are still being provided.
All right. Well, thank you, Lynn, from the News You Can Really Use department. And I had never thought that if you insert a Q-tip far enough in your nose, you sneeze.
Yeah. Try it.
Yeah. I sneeze just thinking about it.
I'll wait until after the show, but I'll report back next week. Well, you know, speaking of coronavirus, you know, the former president is actually now touting COVID vaccines. And he's actually, if you haven't heard him do that, he occasionally gets booed for even, you know, suggesting that the virus is a good thing. What do you think? Is he going to change the complexion of the anti-vaccine culture that he seems to have amplified?
Go ahead.
Once the genie's out of the box, it's hard to get it back in.
I agree. I mean, once these people have made their stand, you know, I don't think they're going to back off. I mean, you got to be.
Well, it's got to be a good idea anyway, whether it's for personal gain or actual altruism from the former president. I'm happy that he's now saying that. It's, I guess, in the better late than never category.
It's interesting to think in terms of how future historians and how future interpretations of the Trump years are going to go. But mostly they're going to be looking at his sort of attack on democracy and his attack on voting and those kind of things. But it's sort of like looking back at Nixon. You know, Nixon was not all bad, mostly, but he did accomplish some positive things, opening up China to a diplomatic sort of dialogue, you know, Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, you know, Environmental Protection Administration, those kind of things, all occurred under the Nixon administration. And I think future historians will look back at Trump, and at least he did accomplish Operation Warp Speed, which,
yes,
you know, got the vaccines that basically is making those of us who are willing to take it relatively safe during this time when it could be quite different than that. So, you know, Trump is not my favorite president, probably down on the bottom of the list of my presidents. But at the same time, you know, he did accomplish that. And I think we can all be thankful that he, or at least his administration, and I suspect not him as much as some of his advisors, you know, pushed him to get that funding. To get a vaccine created in record time. I mean, when you look at it, when you look at other vaccines and you look at polio and you look at, you know, other kinds of disease vaccines, they took generations to develop.
Right.
You know, this occurred in a year.
I mean, I beg to differ a little bit. They have been working on this RNA, this messenger RNA, for quite a while. And I agree that the big push, you know, got them over the hump where they actually said, okay, let's get this thing tested and make sure that it works. So, yeah, I won't give him 100% credit, but.
No.
Yeah.
Everything's nuanced.
There you go.
So he wasn't in the lab with his white lab coat on and looking into the microscope and figuring it out.
Huh? I don't think so.
He was in his own mind, probably.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I do think it's interesting to think about what, you know, what his motive is, and sort of what drives him. Certainly taking credit, because if we all thought that he would want to be taking credit for the vaccine, right, after his administration and Warp Speed and everything else. But, you know, it's been, what, a year now, pretty much. So any other thoughts about what might be driving his motive, Lynn?
Well, I think I'm responding to something slightly off that question, but one of the things that I've heard a lot from vaccine hesitance people is that part of what I've heard people say is that was a rushed development of a test, and we don't have very good data on how it would be actually received and, you know, what the long-term consequences would be and all of that. And so I guess part of my hope is that if former President Trump is going to get back on that bandwagon, I hope he, will defend the idea that we did the best we could in getting a vaccine out, and it prevented thousands and probably millions of deaths, and could prevent more if more people would be willing to try it and protect not only but the people around them.
One of my Bruce, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I mean, one of my senses too is that the anti-vax sort of movement and sentiment comes from a complex sort of interplay of a variety of sort of responses to to changes in society, to the development of a pandemic. I mean, so it's not just about vaccines. It's not just about wearing masks. It's a much deeper embedded cultural conflict and feeling of disempowerment that finds expression through ways of sort of thumbing your nose at the man, if you will, or the people in power, or those liberal elites, or whatever you want to call them. And so I suspect, you know, that no matter what Trump does, it's not gonna swing that pendulum very far off of that sort of anti-vax, anti-mask, you know, you can't tell me what to do kind of stuff. And embedded within that, in which I find it's just incredibly sort of disturbing to my mind, is that all of this sort of you can't tell me what to put in my body, you can't tell me to wear a mask, and yet the same folks are saying, I can tell you how to control your body if you're a woman.
That's right.
To me, just an incredible disconnect there that at some point needs to be played up in the political arena.
I agree 1,000%.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the anti-seatbelt movement to start up here pretty quick now.
Yes, right.
Truman, any indication that your Army buddies might be more inclined to get the vaccine based on the president's?
Oh, no, they're fully vaccinated. They're fully vaccinated. They got on board right away. Yeah, there was no the political atmosphere did not affect that at all. They're all the three main guys are all VA, use the VA for their health care. And boy, they popped right in and one of them said, oh, I'm not going to be doing that. And I made some comment publicly that he was not going to. And he jumped all over me and said, no, absolutely I am. I just did it. You know, I went, okay. But I mean, he had to make the political statement and then, you know, had to recant. But I think that's great. They're, you know, they're all for it. So,
all right. Well, that is really good news because it's hard to know from what you hear on the news media all the time what the real story is out on the streets of America.
The most disturbing to me is one of the an Alaska Airlines pilot who's a current captain, who's a big time anti-vaxxer and says, "Oh, you know, as long as you eat healthy and stay, you know, and I've had it three times already, so why should I have to take, you know, one of these things." And and I made some comment. Well, I think I think we talked about it, where I said that that these vaccine mandates are like the draft, you know, where we're being drafted to fight this war. And I made that analogy. And his comment was, "Well, yeah, that'd be true if it worked, if the vaccine worked." So he's touting the fact that it does not work, you know. And it's like, what planet are you living on? You know, I mean. Anyway, that's the other side of the equation.
Okay, there's always a naysayer, I suppose, in the crowd somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of thinking that the former president might be doing some vote counting regarding his statements about the vaccine and the oh my God moronic Omicron variant that's rapidly spreading through the country is having a very devastating effect, mainly on those who are not vaccinated. So, I think though, if he starts touting mask wearing, then he's been overcome by altruism. But if it's just stick with the vaccine, then it might be just vote counting. So, time will tell, I suppose. Let's see. Speaking of presidents, the current president is dispatching military medical personnel now to assist with that overcrowded hospital situation because of the, oh my God, moronic variant. So briefly, what do you think? Maybe the president could dispatch Coast Guard folks to assist with our understaffed ferry boats. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Ooh, I love it.
You know, I'll propose that to Captain Joe. He'll be coming in to do his show in a little bit. I'll ask him if that's a possibility.
You know, whenever they say a lack of Coast Guard trained personnel, I think, wait a minute, we got thousands of them, don't we?
You know, Captain Joe, he's been saying how much he would like to go back to work. You know, I mean, he said, I'm waiting for that call any day. You know, I'm ready to go back and take command. This might be his opportunity right here. He could head up the ferry boat Coast Guard system and run that whole show. Boy, he would be perfect for that. I'm going to recommend it to him when he comes in.
And you know, I had a chance
to Jay Inslee.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't quite hear you, Lynn.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I was just saying maybe you could talk to Jay Inslee about putting Captain Joe in charge.
There you go.
I don't know quite who makes the decisions about the Washington Department of Transportation, but
well, obviously,
seems like anybody is going to be helpful at this point.
Obviously, the governor has a lot more say about the military than the military does. I mean, look at Oklahoma, right? I mean, he said that, you guys don't have to do all that stuff, even though the Pentagon says you do, right? So maybe Inslee can step in there. We just don't know.
All right. Well, I can tell you, I'll be looking up his, let me just look up his phone number here so that our listeners will have an opportunity to call the good governor and all the wonderful things he's doing to get us through this pandemic, also get us through the climate disasters, all kinds of things. So this is just one more thing to add to the list.
There you go.
But it's fascinating too about the ferry sort of delays and stuff is talking to a couple ferry people, you know, who are now retired, the issues are not, they've got plenty of captains and quartermasters and second in command and that kind of stuff. What they're really lacking are the deckhands. And that's, you know, the pipeline is just not big enough at this point. And the ferry system, you know, trying to cut costs, you know, sort of suppressed employment for a number of years. And now it's coming back to bite them in the rear end, if you will. So it's really, those able-bodied seamen who are Coast Guard folks would be exactly what the ferry system needs.
Yeah.
And Vashon could use them too, Lynn.
Well, I was just going to go back to the original question that you raised about the folks calling out the military doctors to kind of help the hospitals. And, you know, although we don't have a hospital here on Vashon, I just want to relate that sentence or that concept to the formation of the Public Health Medical Reserve Corps. I'm quite the champion of that team, but, you know, we were incredibly fortunate here in terms of having, number one, a whole bunch of retired doctors and nurses and social workers and people from the medical field here who had been developing the Vashon Be Prepared, both the CERT teams for search and rescue and also the Medical Reserve Corps. And Ina Opplinger, who has been on this show with us, who's a physician and the one of the leaders of the test sites and the vaccination sites, insisted that we, December of 2019, that we get the healthcare teams back up and running and ready for anything that might come our way. It was almost prescient, if that's the word, prescient, in that, you know, the next month by January, we were all activated, having just been called up and trained and formed, you know, a leadership structure and a kind of plan of management. And this is all through our equivalent of the public health volunteer system here. So that's another avenue of extra help, retired people mostly, to be called back into service. And that's what we did immediately and managed to get the testing and the vaccinations done here to help Tyler and all, Tyler Young at the pharmacy and all the other medical clinics, make it possible for us to do a good and thorough job on all of this. So, you know, again, thank you to Ina Opplinger and Jim Bristow and John Osborne and all the teams that are showing up every day in the frigid weather to do that work.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear. Well, let's see, for those who do want to contact the governor regarding the dispatching the Coast Guard to help our lack of crew on the ferry boats, the phone number is, at least the last one that I have available, 360-9411. Oh, and don't worry, you're not going to like interrupt the governor and his PJs at his breakfast table, sipping coffee and eating waffles. You're going to very likely leave a message on his answering service.
Okay, and, so, and you blipped out during the reading of that that number. You want to do it again?
Oh, well, maybe somebody's censoring me.
That could be. I don't have a button here.
Okay, that number again is 360-902-4111. So and say hi to Jay from me.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, you know, we are at our last show of the year, and we're right smack dab in the middle of the holiday season, and so I have a few questions for the Brieflies. First of all, what favorite holiday tradition have you been able to enjoy over the last week or so?
Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh my goodness. Well, mine has been unusual this year because my birthday is a week before Christmas, and I was invited by my daughter to join them in Palm Springs for a great, wonderful birthday gift. And so this year, my Christmas has been full of peace because we got back before the airlines started getting so jammed. We got back on the 23rd, and I just had a lovely, quiet time as she had her father and that side of the family relatives over. I'm usually with my daughter and her family, but this year I came back from a week away and have enjoyed the peace and the quiet and the kind of humble, you know, simple celebration of Christmas. I thought I might go up to the Episcopal Church where I go and do a Christmas Eve ceremony, which is my favorite tradition of just singing Christmas carols, but then thought better of it, having just traveled, and thought maybe I don't want to take any unwelcome guest into that church. So I stayed home and sung them on my own, and it was actually a lovely day. So nice. It's different this year.
All right. And Bruce, how about you? I know you're always surrounded by grandkids, and how's your holiday going? And what tradition are you enjoying?
Oh, yeah, it's just getting together, and you know, the grandkids. It's just we've got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and you know, it's just magical for them. And you know, I set up the electric trains under the tree, and they're just they're just sort of fascinated by that. But one of my favorite Vashon sort of traditions are the lighted candy canes along the main highway uptown. Those have been around. I've been trying to find out exactly when they were first put up. I think sometime in the late 50s or early 60s, as near as I can determine. But I can't find a specific date yet. But, you know, they just sort of, they're this kind of funky, small town, you know, battered, you know, over the years, candy canes that just sort of let you know that, hey, it's that time of year. So, so that's one of my favorite kind of things.
Nice. Truman.
Yeah, we had what I called our minimalist Christmas this year. We put up a tree, but the only thing it had on it were white lights. That was it. But we had a lot of lights on it. And we didn't put up the other. Well, I did put up the icicle lights out on the front of the porch there. But that way, the poor little hummingbirds can see where to come to get their little tank up. But But the our dinner was reduced. We normally have a large group of people, and this year I think there were 10 total, and all close family and friends. And very quiet, only a few dishes. We didn't have the mad rush. We did make, I did make my eggnog, which is over the top eggnog.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got three different boozes in it, and you can't taste Ooh. One drop of booze. I mean, it's amazing stuff.
And, does it have an anticoagulant built into it?
Yeah, it needs that. It needs that. Yeah, yeah. To keep the cholesterol from clogging everything as it goes. Because it does have whipped cream. And I mean, it's, man, this thing is something else. But anyway, we did have that and a little gift exchange. And it was really fun. Really a nice laid back year this year. And our adopted daughter, not really adopted, but came out from Detroit. And so her mother passed away a few years ago, so she's our new daughter, and she came out from Detroit, was here, so we were real happy about that, getting to see her. So anyway, it was nice, very nice.
Nice. In the spirit of, if you know, like fake COVID vaccine tricks, I'm thinking when Bruce talks about an anticoagulant for your eggnog, maybe that fuel stabilizer.
Could do the trick. Well, it might make it last longer, you know, I'm not sure. Well, I just
got about Susie, you, Kevin.
Well, what Susie and I had a wonderful day together on Vashon. Our only guests were on Zoom, where we shared with family and three great nieces, which was a lot of fun. And one of them sort of embarrassingly admitted that, yes, she did get up at 6:30 in the morning on Christmas Day to go see what was under the tree. And so it harkens back to, you know, life at that age and how exciting Christmas is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a wonderful time of year, of course, for everybody to have a chance to kind of wind down and get together. And so we did that. You know, we had a really nice dinner and enjoyed ourselves immensely with our Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which is one of the Douglas firs that now no longer lives out in the yard and helps keep our pasture from becoming a forest.
Hey, I just heard something recently. I read it, and I think this is a brilliant idea. There's a family that's put together this company. They rent Christmas trees. Did you guys see this? It's a live tree. It's in a pot, and they deliver it to your house. You decorate it. You have it during the Christmas season, and at the end of the season, you call them, and they come back and get it. And then I don't know if they replant it or what they do, but anyway, they keep it until the next year. And after 5 years, then you keep the tree and plant it, you know, wherever you want to plant it. But it's the same live tree that you rent year after year. I thought, well, what a brilliant idea. You know, I think.
Wow, that's
isn't that great?
That's cool. So when you start out in year one, it's like 3 feet tall.
Yeah,
right?
By the time you know, it's 40 five. Feet by the time you're done. No, I don't know. But that's the idea.
I tried that one year, Truman, and I have just destroyed that poor spruce. It came in a, you know, a big pot, and I put it in a bigger pot, and it's been out by my front porch slowly dying ever since last Christmas.
No.
So I apparently don't know how to keep one going.
Well, you see, but they take it home, and they know how to do it. So they come and get it and take it back.
Contact them.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's right. You need to contact them and get you the tree care hints for the off season.
There you go.
Well, let's see. As we wind down our last show of the year on the Brown Briefly, you know, it does come to mind. What did you think was like your most amazing news or activity of 2021? You know, what was your favorite happenings or your most impressive news story? And maybe if there wasn't anything that really stood out, what are you looking forward to in 2022? And maybe, Bruce, if I could start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, clearly to me, and it may sound odd, but it was the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Just because we've become so complacent that our democracy works so smoothly, and it's being tested right now. And, you know, as a historian, I mean, there's been numbers of times in the past when an American democracy has been tested. And, you know, and it's always managed to eke its way through, you know, sometimes limping with serious wounds, but it's never died. And this was a case where it came close. close to being sort of destroyed. And so how that will play out in January and February of this coming year, as open hearings occur, you know, as people begin to really understand the dimensions of what that attack and insurrection meant, whether or not that will begin to drive wedges into that sort of right now Republicans sort of solid face of denial is going to be really fascinating, because I think we are at a turning point in American democracy. I mean, we can go toward a stronger, more representative, more equitable kind of society, or we can veer off into an autocracy of some sort. And so, you know, not my favorite sort of occurrence, but probably the most significant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the department, I'd like to hear more about Bruce's thoughts about democracy and the insurrection. On the 19th of January, he will be joining us for an Indivisible Vashon meeting. You can go to indivisiblevashon.org and register for a Zoom meeting. No sneezing bans needed. You can get rid of your mask and join us on Zoom. So thank you, Bruce. Any other thoughts on the insurrection? Or Lynn, where would you like to take us next?
Well, I just want to say that regardless of the insurrection, I think it was a fine moment when in Biden's inauguration, I felt such relief that we had somebody in charge of the country who I thought was not going to terrify me every day with what new depredations, you know, he was going to visit on the country. And in particular, I really remember Amanda Gorman's incredible poem that young Black woman gave to the nation that I thought was a lovely, healing, hopeful shot of remembering that we can overcome so much in this country. And in that regard, you know, that the people who denigrate facts and science, in my opinion, were proved wrong by the development of the tests and the vaccines that did get out and have saved so many lives. So for me, it's really important to look for those moments of hope and find ways to see forward into the future. Because like Bruce, I am horrified by the insurrection, but I think it's important that we stay connected also to the positive, powerful moments that do unite us and give us hope. So that's my thought.
Lynn, I have to say thank you. I had forgotten when I heard Biden's inaugural address, I felt this sudden sense of relief and almost a weight coming off of my shoulders. And I sent a note to all my buddies, and I just said, what an incredible breath of fresh air to have a politician who, you know, I could relax a little bit, you know, rather than having this knot in my stomach the whole time. So anyway, I really appreciate that. And I'd forgotten that feeling, but you brought it all back for me.
Yeah.
That was definitely on my list as well, as you might imagine. And Amanda Gorman, if you go and do a YouTube Amanda Gorman, you will find The Hill We Climb, which I believe was the title of her poem. And even if you heard it before, you know, it's so powerful and so moving, and such a talented and skilled woman who was given that opportunity to share her thoughts with us is just inspiring. Truman, other than, you know, surviving flying into the treetops, which maybe was on your list to say.
Yeah, it was definitely up there. it had a rather large impact, so to speak, on my existence. And I've been chastised by my partner for recently saying my airplane. It's obviously our airplane, and I apologize for that, Craig. But there are three of us that are partners in the airplane. So, but, you know, it's a third of it's mine, so I can say that. But anyway, it was quite an event. And it was less an event, except for all of the that 15 minutes of fame thing. We've had YouTubes and podcasts and articles. And I mean, it just goes on. And we just, it's the crash that'll never die. You know, just in the last month, there's a new thing came out all about the, a recap of the whole thing. And I have just recently found out that it looks like the NTSB may, in fact, finally tear the engine down and figure out what caused the thing to fail to start with. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
But Truman, if I can cut back in, Truman, sure. I just want to say we all love a hero and we love a good ending and how important it is to hear these stories of what sounded like doom personified, and that you were able to walk out, you and Craig were able to land that plane and get out of there. I wept from the minute I heard you were going down through the minute I heard you guys were okay. Yeah. And I just think in that same category of needing hope, we need heroes and we need survivors. Yeah. And
I still take
my hat off to you for personifying that.
Maybe that's why the story won't die, that people need that positive feedback. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it goes viral, you might want to be cautious about, sending out your phone number. And I know you changed your email address just recently. So
I did.
I you're planning ahead, I hear.
That was a necessity, unfortunately. So,
okay. So far you're not trying to dodge the paparazzi then?
No.
Okay. Well, just wait.
Yeah. It's coming any day. Well, as I said, I have a face for radio, so I'm not too worried about it, actually.
All right. Well, hey, in addition to, of course, the insurrection and the Biden inauguration, there's a few other things that stood out in my mind as well. While the trial of Derek Chauvin doesn't indicate that justice is finally now here for Americans who have been suppressed and don't get equal justice, the notion that we might be seeing the turning point and the awareness has risen to such a degree that I just feel that is hopeful for going forward.
Yes.
That we'll see more equity, more engagement of all of America in terms of how we're all treated. And for me, that's a very helpful step. There will be, by the way, a work from the last council meeting, a decision to go ahead and create an equity policy for our Vashon Maury Island Community Council, which they sort of surprisingly don't now have. But they've got lots of good words about equity in their mission statement, but not a policy. So if folks are interested in contributing their thoughts to that, you know how to find me, kevin@indivisiblevashon.org.
Could you explain that a little bit more for me in terms of a policy?
Yes. Like, for example, the school district has a racial equity policy. And, as the school district's objective is to serve all of its students, and which has now become more and more diverse, racial equity and awareness of how certain cultures or people or, folks who maybe English as a second or third language are not getting as much service, if you will, from the teachers is a new awareness. And so they've been working hard to address that.
Okay.
The Vashon Center for the Arts has an equity policy. And so I think it's all about just awareness that on an island as a white as Vashon, that we may not be considering those things. It's just sort of the way we're wired from just our normal day-to-day experience.
Okay.
So considering that there's maybe a way of thinking about that is what's behind, in my mind, creating an equity policy. And that's why it's so important, I think, for so many people to share their thoughts about what that might look like.
Okay,
jump in real quick. Museum has developed what we call an inclusion pledge. Because policies are great, but policies need to be implemented. And so our pledge, let me read it to you real quickly. Vashon Maury Island Heritage Museum rejects racism, discrimination, and hate. Our purpose is to honor stories of love, oppression, action, and resilience. Stories that give voice to all, examine hard questions about social, economic, and environmental justice, and reveal racism and oppression within our heritage. We pledge that everything we do will honor the island's diversity of cultures and histories. So it's not just a policy, but it's a pledge to make that policy real. And I think anything the council does, anything, any organization, schools, VCA, whatever, policies are great, but you've got to have that pledge that you're going to do something about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that is perfect.
And that's why so many voices contribute to a good outcome. Yes. Very quickly, two last things. Trump banned from Twitter. I'm really happy about that. And also our own Congresswoman, Pramila Jayapal, is becoming quite the national leader.
Is she
and
amazing?
With pride, those who wear a progressive badge can be proud to be in the 7th Congressional District.
Yes.
And look to the leadership of Pramila Jayapal as she works really hard every day for equity to be applied to our day-to-day lives.
So I agree.
With that, have a wonderful new year, and thank you for joining us today on the Brown Briefly.
All right, see you all next year.
Yeah.